Good morning. Welcome to Husky Nation News, right here on WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. This broadcast is in collaboration with the Yukon newspaper, The Daily Campus, as well as Yukon student-run TV station, UCTV. I'm your host, Ali Urban, and here's the news of the University of Connecticut this week. Senator Chris Murphy says food insecurity in Connecticut higher education is a crisis that's not getting the attention it should from Washington. Daily Campus correspondent Gabriella Denebictis reports Murphy discussed food insecurity at UConn with students, professors, community members, and food security professionals. The Journal of Nutrition defines food insecurity as limited availability to nutritional foods with limited ability to acquire the food in a socially acceptable way. UConn seniors Juan Jikugatharu and Abhishek Gupta conducted a survey with 1,463 participants. The survey says 26% of the participants were worried that they wouldn't have enough food because of lack of money or other resources. It also says 11% of UConn students have gone an entire day without eating. Murphy says this discussion is an invitation to keep the conversation going. Monday night, the Mansfield Town Council voted to ban plastic checkout bags in 6 months in an 8-1 vote. Maggie Cifolius of the Daily Campus writes that plastic bags have been a popular topic for the past several months. Multiple residents attended town council meetings and pushed for the ban. Only one member of the council opposed the ban, Republican David Freudman, who states that this would harm local businesses. Freudman calls the bring-your-own-bag ordinance inappropriate micromanagement on local corporate activity. He argues that if customers forget their plastic bag, they're going to bring business elsewhere, such as nearby Coventry. Ben Scheigen, a Democrat councilman who is in favor of the vote, says that the town will take steps that help the town's inhabitants and local businesses get used to the change. Townspeople will be informed of the ordinance, and reusable bags will also be distributed. Scheigen says everyone in Mansfield who wants a reusable bag will have one. UConn is taking a leaf out of the cannabis industry's book and teaching students all about cannabis horticulture. UCTV News correspondent Leanne Sana reports, From Seed to Harvest is a program that teaches students how to grow and care for cannabis plants, and students get credit for it. UConn senior Tova Benson-Tilson believes that academia needs to recognize the legitimacy of the student of the study of cannabis. It's one of the reasons she decided to take the class. Greenhouse researcher and plant grower Shelley Duroche says that this class is not encouraging students to grow and produce their own recreational marijuana, as it is illegal to grow cannabis for this purpose in the state of Connecticut. Forbes reports that the marijuana industry is one of the fastest growing in the nation, with the potential to grow into a $57 billion industry in the next 10 years. In other cannabis-related news, in the past few years, UConn police has implemented new measures to attempt to deal with students driving under the influence of marijuana on campus. Daily Campus correspondent Taylor Harton shed some light on the case by talking with Deputy Police Chief Andrew Fournier. Fournier says that there are numerous different steps that help police detect whether or not a driver is under the influence of any substances. Although Fournier says no single test can positively confirm or deny the fact that the student is high whilst driving, unlike using a breathalyzer while drunk driving cases. Police departments in the country are facing the issue of how to deal with arrests where a person is driving whilst high now that more and more states are legalizing marijuana for medical and recreational use. Government representatives and legislators in Connecticut are trying to figure out how to best approach the issue. In November of last year, the University of Connecticut Information and Technology Services, or ITS, released a new display name tool that allows students, staff, and faculty to set themselves a name that is different than their legal name in certain university directories. Individuals can input preferred first, middle, and last names into the UConn phone book, Outlook Global Address List, and UConn Anywhere services using the display name tool. ITS communications writer Ashley Mattingly says that this list will expand further as more university systems begin to show display names. Husky One cards and other services will begin using preferred names sometime in the future. ITS team leader Dylan Marquis says, In allowing our community to update their display name as easily as possible, we hope that it allows individuals to be as comfortable as possible living, working, and learning at the university. Rainbow Center Director Kelsey O'Neill says the display name tool is a step towards affirming the identity of students who are transgender, gender nonconforming, and non-binary. A coffee a day keeps the college student awake, writes our very own news correspondent Daniela Doncel. Doncel reports off-campus student services offer commuters free cups of coffee every Wednesday morning. Off-campus student services graduate assistant Bailey Raber says commuter coffee Wednesday started off because they know our commuters make that extra effort to get onto campus. Raber says it's great to give commuters some free coffee. Raber says that Commuter Coffee Wednesdays also allows students to meet other commuters, make connections, and get more engaged in activities on campus. There are regulars who show up every Wednesday, but business and finance major Matthew Grohotsky says some newcomers can get a little nervous, although they seem to loosen up after getting their coffee. Commuter students can visit off-campus student services between 9 and 10 a.m. in Student Union Room 315 on Wednesdays to pick up their coffee. Finally, our very own operations manager Shira Tall wrote her news story on the Super Bowl parade in Boston. Take a listen.
On Sunday, February 3rd, the New England Patriots beat the Los Angeles Rams for their sixth Super Bowl win. The city of Boston held a Super Bowl parade to celebrate their win on Tuesday, February 5th. A barricade of people on Tremont Street waited for the parade to start around 8 in the morning, and many attendees prioritized attending the event.
I took the day off of work.
Oh yeah, we missed school.
I had to take a day off from work, so I'm here.
Before the parade started at 11 a.m., taxis, buses, cars, and trucks drove through the streets, encouraging cheering from the crowd with honks, whistles, and music. Children and adults alike began catching and tossing footballs as they waited for the parade to begin. Police officers even joined in the camaraderie. Overcast skies didn't deter anyone, with the mid-50 weather unusually high in New England for early February, a sharp contrast with highs in the mid-30s during the Super Bowl parade in 2017.
I went 2 years ago. It was fun. The weather was different, but it was fun.
Others, too, reminisced of earlier parades and were excited to attend their first.
How does it feel to be here?
Pretty cool. I'm really excited.
I was here for the first one in 2002.
And how was that?
That was a lot of fun, but my kids were younger, so I couldn't stay. I had to just see the quick start and had to leave.
The parade finally reached Tremont Street around noon as confetti was thrown ahead of the iconic duck boats. On the first boat, Robert Kraft, the Patriots owner, was joined by his family, including son Jonathan, who held up the trophy from Super Bowl 36. As the crowd continued to roar, a rare smile from head coach Bill Belichick greeted fans who continued to wave and hold up six fingers. Staff and operations followed Coach Belichick and soon after, the Patriots players. The music and partying began with the defensive backs dancing and singing "To All I Do Is Win" by DJ Khaled. Trailing behind was who fans call the greatest of all time, or GOAT, Tom Brady. When asked what one thing people would tell the Patriots quarterback if they could, no one was shy of answering.
He's hot and he's my dad.
You're never going to get old.
I love you, Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, I'll friggin' die for you. Kill anybody for you. We love you, brother. Come back, never retire. We love you.
I would just say thank you.
After Tom Brady, Robert Gronkowski and other Patriots tight ends rode through the parade shirtless and chugging beers. Gronk sang along with "Your Love" by The Outfield, a song that dominates Gillette Stadium when the Patriots are leading in the fourth quarter. Following the tight ends, the offensive linemen drove by, featuring Bud Light's "Dilly Dilly King," a staple advertisement for any NFL game. As the duck boats rolled on with other operations administrative staff, cheerleaders, and media, the crowd began to chant, waiting for the Super Bowl's most valuable player, Julian Edelman. As the duck boats trailed off towards City Hall, the crowd dissolved into disorder, with people pushing and shoving to take the tee back to work, return to school, or walk home. As people left the parade, chants and talks of a Super Bowl return started to surface.
We want seven! We want seven! We want seven!
Think you'll be back for seven?
Yeah, we'll be back in 2 years.
Can't wait to be here next year. It was awesome.
As Coach Belichick said to Tom Brady after Sunday's win, we'll be back too. For WHUS News, I'm Shira Tall.
Now, we'll hear today's weather. For Friday, February 15th. Rain likely, mainly after 3 p.m. Mostly cloudy, with a high near 51. There's a chance of precipitation, which is up to 60%. For Saturday, it's going to be mostly sunny, with a high near 37. That's all the news we have for this week. We'll now be going into a short break before starting the talk segment of our show, where I'll be talking to a special guest about her recent study abroad opportunity in Belgium.
Of course I want our kids to eat fresh, healthy foods all the time. But we don't have a supermarket nearby, so it's a challenge.
I wish we were closer to good healthcare because of our son's asthma. Frankly, it's scary at times.
I'd love for our family to live in a nice house near a great school, but...
But none of these resources exist in our neighborhood.
Many variables can shape the outcome of children's lives, like the zip code where they grow up. That's because not all communities have the same opportunities, such as quality schools and housing, fresh food, and good healthcare. There are many ways to improve communities so everyone has a fair chance. regardless of zip code, you can make a difference. Join with HUD and local leaders to improve your community. Learn how at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Fair housing, shared opportunity in every community. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
All right, so we're back now. From this point forward, the views and opinions expressed on this WHUS News Department show are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily the views of the staff, management, or licensee of WHUS Radio or the University of Connecticut. So I'm here with my dear friend, Alicia Brocky, and she was recently in Belgium for the past 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, it was a 2-week study abroad program, part of my capstone semester. I'm a nursing major, so the capstone is basically just finishing up your studies, and so my study abroad was palliative and end-of-life care, and I've always been kind of interested in that. I grew up with my grandparents. They were a huge part of my life, and I really took care of them in their like end-of-life care, so I was really curious to see how they do things in Belgium and how it's different than here.
Right, so when you went to Belgium, what were some of the differences between the care they gave over there to their people versus people here?
Yeah, so here, I noticed that a lot of it is fixing like medical issues, but in Belgium, it's really focused on comfort of the patient. Over there, euthanasia is legal, which is something I was very surprised to see, but they treat their patients so nice. The nursing homes are just very focused on, you know, comfort. They really provide a lot of support to the family. They have, like, after a patient dies or passes away, they will offer continuing support to the family for years after.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
It's just a lot different than here, but it's very nice.
I know you showed me a picture of one of the nursing homes over there, and it just looked like a country club. It was so nice.
Yeah, they really focus on complementary therapies. Like aromatherapy is a huge thing. One of the nursing homes I went to, each hallway smelled different. Like one hallway smelled like citrus, one was peppermint, and even in their dining room, before meals, they make it smell like chocolate. So that way the residents get more of an appetite, and it actually does boost their appetite. They end up eating a lot more and, you know, getting strong.
Oh, wow. That's pretty interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So how many classes did you have a day during this program? Like, what was your daily schedule like, I guess?
It was all over the place. So the first week, it was very intense. We did a ton of site visits, and each day kind of had a different theme to it. Like the first day we went to a children's hospital, and then we went to the oncology and hematology unit. And then the next day we went to a adult oncology unit. Then we went to nursing homes, and then we went to a psychiatric palliative care center, which I thought was really interesting. That was where they have basically psychiatric patients who have exhausted all of their treatment options, where nothing really works for them. So they're free to just stay there, and they basically do palliative care. They just again make them like comfortable and try to live their life to the fullest. And they're another thing I found interesting there was that the patients, it's not a locked psychiatric unit, which basically all I've seen here in America is psychiatric units are locked. But there, they're free to come and go as they please. And that actually turns out that they want it. That makes them want to stay.
Right.
Yeah.
Like a reverse psychology,
basically,
literally.
Yes. Yeah. If they're free to go, then they see that place is good for them.
Right.
And so they end up staying, and they really enjoy it. Like, there was one patient that was there for 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That's a very long time.
Yeah. So, Yeah, they definitely focus a lot on palliative care.
That's really good. That's quite different from the U.S. I mean, you know that I'm far from a nursing major, anything in the medical field, but I enjoy hearing about it. What was your favorite class, or like, would you say, or thing that you did in the program?
Oh, so the second week consisted of, we did a lot of workshops on like complementary care. So I did art therapy and I did aromatherapy.
Okay.
And the aromatherapy was wonderful. There was so many different ways to use it, because what I thought is just you put the essential oil in a diffuser and just smell it.
But same.
No, there's so many different ways. You could put it in, like, we did a lot of massage therapy. So we would put the oil in like massage oil. We did a foot bath.
Oh.
Which I was kind of iffy about, but it actually was really nice. We put like tea tree oil
in the foot bath?
In the foot bath with some milk.
With milk? Foot bath with milk? Is there like any purpose or like added bonus to using milk?
I know milk. So with the essential oils, you have to put it in milk because I guess milk is a good carrier.
That's interesting.
You can't just put oil in water.
Oh, right. They don't mix. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and milk is good for the skin. And it was really, really nice.
That's interesting.
And then another thing that I thought was cool was we put lemon essential oil in tea. It was so good.
For people to drink?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that you could actually drink essential oils.
Yeah, we had to put mix like a drop or two with honey.
Okay.
And then we put it in tea. And it just smelled so good.
That sounds really good.
That whole thing made you feel really good. Wow. And I could really see how aromatherapy really could change your mood and be a part of typical therapy.
That's awesome. So aside from the whole academic aspect, what else did you do in Belgium? Like, I know you told me a little bit, but for our listeners, like, just how was your experience overall? Like, you're traveling outside of the classes and everything, and what you did in the evenings, maybe.
Mm-hmm. So, the first week, we were with just kids from Belgium, and then two girls from Germany. I honestly wasn't expecting them to like us.
Oh.
But, no, they were so welcoming. Right after class, we went to try Belgian beer.
Oh, yeah. I remember you texting me about that.
Yeah, they took us right in, right under their wings. Yeah, they were a lot of fun. And then the second week is when a bunch of international students came. They were from basically all over Europe. They were from Portugal, Latvia, Czech Republic, Estonia, There's definitely more, but I can't name them off the top of my head. It was so cool to see a bunch of students, different cultures.
Right.
And how they're different, how they're the same. Just so many different perspectives coming to one to, like, share different knowledge and put it all together.
Was this at the culture fair?
Oh, we did have one culture night.
Mm-hmm. That.
Yeah, where each of the countries kind of just prepared a table with different aspects of their culture, like for us.
Okay.
Yeah, for me and my American friends, we put an American flag on our table and we brought some American food.
Mm-hmm.
We brought Cheetos. It was hard to pack this in our suitcase.
Oh, you had to bring it all the way
from...
Oh, that would make sense.
Yeah, so we couldn't bring anything too extravagant.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
But we decided that we would also make s'mores. But we were surprised to see that Belgian grocery stores didn't really have the same ingredients. Like their marshmallows were different, and they didn't really have graham crackers. It was...
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. But the chocolate was delicious.
I know. Wasn't there like a hot chocolate that you had too? It was like a chocolate on a stick or something. You mixed it with the milk.
Oh, it was wonderful. I ordered a hot chocolate and they gave me a glass of hot milk and then a little piece of chocolate attached to a stick. So I was assuming that you mix it together And let me tell you, it was the best hot chocolate I've ever had in my life.
Oh my, I wish they had that here. Like, one thing I really enjoy is like stuff from Europe. I mean, we have the Polish store in New Britain to get like some of the Polish things we like, but other countries, it's just so cool to see like the differences in food. And I know obviously Belgian waffles are famous. How were those?
I can't even tell you how many I ate.
Oh my gosh.
I ate so many. They were delicious, but yeah, the food is amazing there.
That's definitely awesome. I'll have to go to Belgium someday.
Yeah.
But you also went to London too for a weekend trip?
Yeah, we decided to make use of our time in Europe. So we flew in a few days early and we went to Amsterdam first.
Oh, right. Yeah, I'm kind of remembering it out of order, but you could say it in order how it happened.
Yeah, no, we went to Amsterdam. We only had like a day and a half there, so we really had to make use of our time, but I don't think I've ever walked more in my life.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but it was just so cool to see, you know, the different cultures and even the architecture.
Is different.
It's, yeah, definitely different. Just like you see in the movies.
No, yeah, it's true.
I was like Hazel Grace
from
Fault in Our Stars walking through Amsterdam.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and we went to the Anne Frank House. We went to just all over.
What was your favorite place in your day and a half of Amsterdam?
Probably the Anne Frank House. Just because I'm really, like, World War II stuff really interests me.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, so it was really interesting to see exactly what happened. And there was, like, a guided audio tour.
Oh, okay.
So it basically told you the whole history of it.
Right. Those are actually super common. On kind of, like, a related topic, I went to Auschwitz 2 summers ago when I was in Poland, and it was same, like, a guided audio tour.
Yeah.
So those are actually pretty interesting.
Yeah. And then we went to London.
Okay.
It was a 7-hour bus ride.
Now, this is the question I have. How did you get over the English Channel on a bus?
So the bus actually went into, I think it was like an underground train.
That one. Oh.
So the bus drove into a train that went under the channel. Yeah, a little claustrophobic. But
for 7 hours, you guys were, or how long were you actually underwater?
Underwater was probably 45 minutes.
Okay, so that's not
too long.
That bad.
No, I just kind of closed my eyes.
Oh, was it like black when you like looked out the window? If the windows were like,
I mean, the inside of the train was lit, but it was kind of like how the inside of a subway is. Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, London was beautiful. We went to so many museums, and of course I had to take a picture in one of the red phone booths.
Oh, of course.
Which are, you can find them anywhere you look. They're everywhere.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So it was just a lot of fun making use of our time in Europe to travel.
Right. Oh, I also remember you mentioning Big Ben was under construction.
Yes.
When you went.
Yes. We went to see Big Ben, and there was just scaffolding surrounding it, so we couldn't really get a good view. But it's okay.
That's okay. At least
okay.
You enjoyed your time in London.
No, it was a lot of fun.
No, that's awesome. Did you go any other places or in Belgium? Any cool places outside of the city you were in?
We were in Ghent for the majority of the trip, but we took a day trip to Brussels. That was a lot of fun. Ate a lot of waffles there.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
And then we went to Bruges, and Bruges was probably my favorite
city.
Where
is it geographically in Belgium, or how far from Ghent?
I know it was a short like bus ride away. Yeah, it wasn't too far, but that was very beautiful. The streets are all cobblestone. And
that's so pretty.
It just looks like, I don't even know how to describe it. Just very old. You could tell it's a very old city.
Like any old like European city.
Basically, yeah. No, it was beautiful.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And like the architecture in the Netherlands and Belgium itself, it's different than other European countries too, because I was in Poland, and we're going to go to Poland too very soon, hopefully. But even that was like very grand architecture, old but different too, though the cobblestone streets are the same.
No, definitely. It's a lot easier to walk around than it is to drive, which I was surprised that not a lot of people drive around.
What other transportation did you take besides walking? Or did you really like literally walk everywhere?
I mean, definitely walking the majority of the time.
Yeah.
But we took trains if it was far, just some buses and trams.
Oh, I love trams. Yeah. I went on one of those in Poland, and my cousin specifically asked me, have you ever been on a tram? And I said, no, can we go? And he said, yes. And we went, and it went really fast, and it was, like, wild.
Yeah, no, it was a lot. And then we were thinking of renting bikes in Amsterdam.
Oh, yeah, that's also
classic. My God, the amount of times that I almost got hit by a bike.
Oh, my Lord.
I'm surprised I made it back alive.
Yeah, a lot of people, like to ride the bikes.
You have to be really good at riding a bike.
Oh, my gosh. So you guys didn't end up riding the bikes?
No.
It was too advanced.
Too advanced
for
me.
My dad might, he probably, like, would be able to keep up with the traffic,
They went so fast.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but I guess they do bike everywhere.
Did they wear helmets at least?
No.
That's the same thing in Poland.
They even had, they were taking their kids to school. There was, like a five-year-old girl sitting, like, standing on a bike with her dad.
Oh, my gosh.
But I guess that's normal.
Yeah, no, that's normal.
That's how they get around, yeah.
Exactly. No, that's pretty interesting.
Definitely different than here.
Overall, so how would you rate your experience
10.
In Belgium?
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10, you would go back?
I am planning on going back.
To Belgium, okay.
Yeah, I made so many friends there. All the Belgian kids were wonderful. We made a group chat. That group chat is still going, and I've been back for almost a month.
Oh, that's so cute. So were they, like, kids of different majors, or were they in the nursing program?
The whole program was mostly nursing majors.
Okay.
There was a lot of occupational therapy, physical therapy. I think there might have been, like, one or two medical students.
Oh, like, for being a doctor?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah, the majority was nursing.
Very nice. See, it's awesome to go abroad because you can make, like, those connections, like, with people in other countries, and it's, like, really cool.
Yeah, we want to go to Belgium. They want to come here.
Oh, they want to come here. Yeah. Oh, that would be cool. Well, if they offer exchange, like, I think anybody, like, who wants to travel, like, should take an opportunity to do an exchange. Like, do you agree with that?
100%. Yeah. I did get a little homesick.
Oh, about how far into the trip did you get homesick?
Probably within the first few days.
Oh, okay.
I quickly got over that once I started making all the friends and getting more comfortable.
Oh, on that note, I want to give a shout out to your mom, to Donna Brocky, for listening in, and probably my dad, Robert, who's also listening. I think he said he was going to tune in. So a shout out to you guys. We'll probably get a text after, like, oh, thanks for the shout out or something.
I hope.
Yeah.
Probably.
One other question I had was, how'd you adjust to the time change? Because I know that's, like, something people struggle with sometimes.
I think we were just so exhausted from traveling that I could fall asleep whenever.
Oh.
No, but I did. The first night in Amsterdam, I think it was like a 6-hour difference. Five or six hours.
Yeah, it's 6 hours.
Yeah. I woke up at like 5 a.m. and I was wide awake.
Oh my gosh.
So, I mean, but after the first day, it was fine.
Adjusted fine.
And then coming back home, we were traveling for, I think, 20-something hours.
Weren't you on? Yeah, because didn't you go to Portugal? How are the planes, really, the plane rides to and from?
Oh, they were good. Yeah, they gave us 2 meals on the on each plane.
Okay.
To and from. They were a lot of leg room, pretty.
Oh, that's actually really good.
Comfortable for
a plane.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was nice, but we did have a 10-hour layover in Portugal.
10 hours? That's more than my 7-hour layover.
It was so long. So long. But I stayed in the airport, but a few other girls went out and explored Portugal.
For 10 hours.
Yeah, I was scared to go through, like.
Don't believe me, I would have been scared too.
I didn't want to miss the next flight.
No,
I mean,
no, it's a valid concern.
Yeah, so they went out and explored Portugal. They took a lot of pictures, and it was beautiful there too. Kind of wish I went, but
that's okay. You know what?
I definitely caught up on sleep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if you like Europe, you'll go again.
Oh yeah, 100%.
That's awesome.
But yeah, adjusting to time back here, I was just so exhausted from traveling that I went right to bed.
Oh,
and I was
fine.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
Okay, so we're kind of nearing the end of the show. There's like 30 seconds left. But thank you very much for being a guest. Really appreciate it.
Yeah,
I hope this was fun for you.
Yes, of course.
It was very fun for me. No, definitely. And I'm sure everybody liked to listen to what you had to say.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you very much for listening to our show. Thank you to the Daily Campus and UCTV for collaborating with us. And thank you to Ethan Smith, who is the creator of our lovely theme music. I've been your host, Allie Urban, and you're listening to WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. And I hope you all have a wonderful weekend.